Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is, all things come to an end. All good things come to an end, right? Well, time of music and fellowship over the years, I guess, is winding down. We're going to talk about that. Some great friends who encouraged me through college, and I'm sure many friends through their youth years into their adult years. We're talking about Lost and Found today and their farewell tour. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. We're going to talk with George and Michael of Lost and Found on here on Faith and Family. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining us by phone this morning, Michael Bridges of Lost and Found. Michael, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hey, Andy, thanks for having us over.
Great to have you here. And George Baum, thanks so much, George, for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
It is our pleasure.
Well, I am looking forward to spending some time with you. This is a privilege for me after enjoying a lot of great Lost and Found music through my college years and reminiscing and listening to the music off and on over the last couple of years, and then finding out that you're coming back to St. Louis for a concert here on your farewell tour, and I get to have the chance to talk with you here two-on-one, and sharing that with our listeners, and so grateful for the opportunity to have this time. Learning about a little bit about the history of Lost and Found, how it all got started, and some of the stories behind the songs as well, and some of the things you've learned from the road. Let's start with... What were you guys doing before Lost and Found was even formed? George, what were you doing before Lost and Found started?
Well, Michael and I started playing together in high school, sort of off and on, just here and there at a local camp in Western New York, Camp Pioneer. Mm-hmm. We played some concerts there and, played there like for youth retreats and stuff like that, and didn't really have an eye toward doing this for, what we would do. We just did it for fun. And so, and then Michael went off to college and I stayed in Western New York and worked in some restaurants and I would play in bands on weekends, usually country bands. And that was just how things were going for a while. And then when Michael got out of college, we had this idea to do the, what we call the bikes trip. And that's, that's when we started going by the name Lost and Found.
Michael, where did you go to college? What did you study? And was music still a part of your time there in college?
Andy, hey, thanks for having us with you on the show today. You know, the thing is, when we started out so young, teenagers who met because we were in choir together at Grace Lutheran Church in Niagara Falls, New York, we had no idea that Lost and Found would be our full-time living for 29 years and allow us to play in almost, in lots of countries around the world and to record 18 CDs and to get a chance to meet, hundreds of thousands of people in concert tours. We had no idea this was all coming. So when I got out of high school, I just went to... the State University of New York, mm-hmm. because that seemed like a good school to go to. And I initially went there to study music. And after really just a month or so, I thought I would enjoy politics and economics a lot more. And so I switched over to that.
And who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what was really interesting during my college years, a very important experience that I had was being involved at the local Lutheran church in the town where I lived for college. So I was at Stony Brook, New York, and nearby in St. James, New York, was St. James Lutheran Church. And I went there early in the semester, my first semester, and the pastor, Ken Hansen, who became a really influential figure and kind of faith mentor, the first thing he said was, "How would you like to be involved?" And so I worked there for 3 years as a volunteer, leading youth group activities on Sunday nights and various retreats. And it just really allowed me to maintain a relationship with a local congregation even while I was at university.
Campus ministry, being connected to a congregation while a college student certainly is important. And I'm thankful for the work that LCMSU is doing now to reach out to so many students on campuses, and Pastor Mark Azil and the great work that he's doing to support those who are doing campus ministry, much like your pastor did as well. I know those years were very formative for me. How has campus ministry been a part of Lost and Found in the nearly, 30 years that you've been telling the good news of Jesus in song and in stories?
You know, go ahead, Michael.
Of course, there have been a number of times where specific campus ministries have invited us to play concerts for their campus ministry organization. But probably more common and having quite a lot of impact has been the experience where local congregations that happen to be located in a place where young people have left home to go away to college, those local congregations get involved with Lutheran students who've traveled to the place where the university is. And so over the years, we've been invited to play concerts at congregations. And a big part of the outreach to the community is inviting local college students. And it's always a very encouraging thing, especially to me with the background of being involved in a local congregation during university time. It's always encouraging to see local congregations reaching out to college students and providing college students with an intergenerational experience, so that they can maintain a sense of connectedness to church. And, you know, I think, you know, most people would view the church as being much larger than one individual congregation. And so when students are away from home, they can be involved with a local congregation near the university and have lots of the same experiences and the richness of church family, even while they're away at school.
So you had a great experience as a college student, and thankful for a pastor who certainly made that connection and provided that word and sacrament ministry for you and got you connected, kept you connected to the congregation there. After college, what was the next step, Michael?
For me, immediately after college, George and I left on our bicycle trip. We decided to ride our bicycles around the United States. We had a summer of working at camps, and then we left on our bicycle trip. We thought about jobs, and then we decided instead we would play in a band.
we decided instead we would ride bicycles.
Yeah, we chose music over jobs.
So, bicycles. Why did you decide to ride bicycles? Where did it start? Where did you start riding bicycles?
Well, Michael had this idea that, you know, having majored in, politics and government and stuff like that he was eventually just going to go, you know, have to work in a cubicle or something after college, and thought, before I go do that, he thought, you know, he wanted to ride his bike around the country or across the country. And then he had the idea that if he rode around the perimeter of the country, that would really be something. And the way to fund it might be for us to play concerts. And so then he called me up and asked if I would be interested in that, you know, like, what am I doing? And I said, well, I'm not really doing anything, so this sounds great. So we just sort of fell into it. And then once we realized that it was possible to support ourselves with, you know, very, you know, little amount of money or support, because we're just on bicycles, you know, we didn't have very many expenses, and we planned to stay with people along the way and so forth. So it became a thing that we could do, and that certainly no one else was doing, and it would be a great way to see the country and play some music and, you know, just travel around. So even at that point, at the beginning of the night of the bike trip, we didn't intend to continue doing this afterwards. We just thought we're going to do this 1 year thing and then go on with our lives. And turned out that's not how it happened.
So you jumped on your bikes and started traveling around. And what did you do when you stayed with friends and played music? how did it all come together? What a typical event with, first of all, when did you come up with the name Lost and Found?
Right before we left on the bicycle trip, we decided to go by the name Lost and Found. I mean, prior to that, since it was all just very loose, we didn't know if we were ever going to play another concert. And we were really just promoting Camp Pioneer when we traveled. And we mostly played around our home in the Eastern District. And so once in a while, we'd travel to a K through 8 school, maybe in Michigan or Pennsylvania, but it was all very random. So we were called George and Michael, Mike and George, you know, whatever name kind of the local school principal assigned to us.
Right.
And then we thought if we're going to leave on this trip, we should have one particular name. And Lost and Found just seemed like a way we could talk about you know, this sort of Lutheran identity of being saint and sinner, lost and found at the very same time. And we also thought being on bicycles and riding 8,000 miles around the country, we would find ourselves both lost and found lots of days.
And I've seen a few pictures from churches that quite often have lost and found boxes in the narthex,
yeah.
And both of you standing in the lost and found box, very appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, and we get a lot of free stuff that way
because it has your name on it.
The box has our name on it, exactly.
Some nice stuff.
Must be ours. Yeah.
So you started traveling around playing concerts. What is the nature of your music? How is your music different than that of other artists? We'll start with George and then we'll go to Michael.
Yeah, well, several answers to this, but so we'll start with just musically. What's different is that we are just two instruments, two voices. Like, you know, most people have it in their mind that in order to be a band, we have to get a bass player and a drummer and some backup singers and, you know, and all of that other stuff. And we instead just said, well, what do we have? We have a piano and we have a guitar. And so that's our band. You know, if one of us had played tuba, it would be a very different sounding band. But so we don't like force ourselves into someone else's idea of what a band has to be. It was, you know, and now that's sort of a philosophy we have, but back in the earliest days, it was just because that's all we had. You know, we didn't have the option to add other people because other people had, you know, things going on and the schedule didn't fit. Like the two of us, and as high school students, we like just hung around together all the time. And so at one moment we might be throwing a football and the next moment we might be playing some songs. It was just like one of the things we did together. So musically we end up with this sort of unique sound that's just piano and guitar, but musical influences were sort of like rock music, but we're playing an acoustic guitar and an acoustic piano. So what we have is like what would be rock music, but it's played on acoustic instruments, which is just a very unique sound.
Now,
so
how,
musically, we're set aside in that way.
How did you carry the piano around on your bike?
Well, at first, Michael said, you know, fair is fair. Each guy should bring his own instrument.
Right.
But what we ended up doing was we didn't bring any instruments with us on the bikes. We just brought clothes and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. then we borrowed everything every night. So some nights that would mean, you know, you get a Steinway Grand and a, you know, beautiful classical guitar. And other nights it meant like, you know, it was just the beat-up church basement piano. You know, half the keys don't work. And it's like we just adapted to what we had in all circumstances, you know. Because, you know, part of it is that on the bike trip, we didn't have other options. It's like what we had in front of us mm-hmm. was what we had. And so we're just going to make the best of what we can with what we have here.
You know, and the thing is, since we came into this line of work from, you know, a perspective of sort of camp counselors, as opposed to mm-hmm. a perspective of, you know, a rock band that decides to, you know, rock for God.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we were, you know, camp counselors who want to spread the joy that we know and the freedom and the love that we've experienced, and music is one tool that we use for that, then we never were sort of overly concerned about, the music sound. Well, if you've heard us, you know we're not concerned about the music sounding perfect. It's more about an overall experience,
mm-hmm.
communicating a sense of strangers can gather and become friends, and the good news of God's love in Christ can be proclaimed through a little bit of music, a little bit of joking, a little bit of banter, a little bit of improvisational humor, and a lot of kind of intergenerational engagement with the people. And it just became this very unique mix of things. So I think what happens a lot of times when people decide to have a band, they are influenced by a specific band. And so they set out on a mission to sound somewhat like that band. And like George said, then they have to collect specific players who can play those parts. What happens a lot of times then is when that band after whom a younger band is modeled becomes less popular because of changing popular tastes, then that style of music goes out of style. We've kind of had this 30-year longevity because we never sounded like anyone except Lost and Found. And we always started with original music, and this is the sound we had. And many, many people will say, that's not my preferred sound. We say, okay, no, that's great. You know, I mean, different things for different people. But one thing that even those who don't enjoy our style would have to say and do say, they say, well, that's unique. Never heard anything like that before. And yeah, in a way,
the other thing by not being locked into a particular style, like you saw, like you know, 10 years ago with a lot of bands, you know, were into ska music, a particular style of music, and then when ska goes away, you know, like those bands, they become, you know, like well, the phrase people use is has-beens, and mm-hmm. our joke is always that. You know, you can't be has-beens unless you have been. And since we've never been, we can't be has-beens. You know, it's like
never were.
We're not locked into, you know, some wave that we're riding. Right. We're just like, we just do what we do.
Timeless. Timeless is a way to describe
that's
it, right?
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
Right.
You know,
timeless and not for everybody. That's our tagline, right?
The nice thing about having this really unique sound and style is that it's a way to point to the opportunity everyone has to use their unique set of gifts to serve the church and to spread the good news. You know, people can look at us, and many times people will say, and even in kind of intending to be a detractor, they might listen to us and watch a concert and say, ah, I could do that. And our answer is, yeah, you could. You
exactly
could totally
right.
do that.
And you
come
should.
On. Join us or do your own thing or figure it out. You know, we always were very inspired by our friends, the Fitz family.
Mm-hmm.
They were a group of jugglers. It's a fantastic, fantastic family. And they just traveled around the country. They went to K-8 schools and churches and colleges and camps. And they shared a message, a really inspirational message about family and about faith and about using creative gifts by juggling. And, you know, it was just, that was their particular thing. That was their gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it for the glory of God. And we hope that in some level people would see us and they would say, ugh. If those guys can do this, I can do this. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I want to give our listeners a little bit of the music and help them understand the music. I want to give them. Let's do Hearts on Fire. I'll play a clip from that here in a little bit. Give us a little bit of background. Who wants to tackle that? Give us a little background on Hearts on Fire.
Hearts on Fire. Well, that song is simply a song. The phrase Hearts on Fire comes from that story of the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus when they run into the resurrected Christ, right? And so they flip out because the one in whom they hoped, the one in whom they believed, the one for whom they waited, the one with whom they'd fallen in love has been murdered, and now he's alive and walking with them on the road. And they turn to each other, according to the scripture, they say, did not our hearts burn within us? And what they probably meant by that was, didn't you feel it? Didn't you know that you were in the presence of God when we walked on the road with that stranger? And I think many of us have those experiences when we know we've experienced the kingdom of God, when we felt the presence of God in Christ in some very meaningful, tangible way, and there's no mistaking it. And what we don't mean by hearts on fire is, woohoo, weren't we enthusiastic, feeling excited? Because, you know, we all know that enthusiasm and excitement is not a measure of a relationship with God. You can be very close to God at times when you're as far as the east is from the west from being enthusiastic or excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's with us in every different moment. But there are those moments when you know you experience the presence of God. So in this song, we quote things that Jesus said. These are moments when people would have thought, oh, yeah, we were in the presence of God just now. And so each time we say something Jesus said, the response is hearts on fire, meaning, did not our hearts burn within us? And then just calls to mind all these occasions when the kingdom was revealed.
All right, hearts on fire, lost and found.
His own, and everybody said, hearts on fire. Let the one who is without a sin throw the first stone. I bet the people said, hearts on fire. Hearts on fire, baby, yeah. Hearts on fire. Hearts on fire, baby, yeah. Only sleeping, though you thought that she died, and everybody went, hearts on fire. Take a look here, wrap my hands in my feet, put your hand in my side. I bet the people said, hearts on fire.
Just a little sample of Lost and Found. We're talking with today George Baum and Michael Bridges of Lost and Found, the dynamic duo that's been traveling, well, not just around the country, around the world. You're right, guys. It's a unique sound. Some might say it's not for me, but it is. It's a sound that is your sound and has become kind of your signature sound. And I think for many youth, many college students, even adults, we recognize it pretty quickly. Those of us who have had the privilege of spending an evening hearing your music and hearing your stories. And what goes into writing songs like this? You just shared, Michael, you shared quite a bit about the song Hearts on Fire, how it all starts with the Word of God. What goes into writing a song? Do you just get an idea, or you have a story or an experience and something inspires you to write a song about it? Where do the songs come from mostly? Michael or George, who wants to start with that?
I'll start with it. The short answer is yes, it's all those things. You know, sometimes one of us has an idea, you know, mm-hmm. a thing we want to say, and then you sort of set about, you know, what is a way I can say this thing? And oftentimes what we do with that is like have the chorus be the thing you want to say, and then you make the verses sort of lead into the chorus. So as though if you think of like the chorus as being, a truth you want to proclaim, then you say, like, if you can set up the verses to lead to the chorus being the answer. So you think of like the verse being like the question, you know, like whatever the question is, and then here comes the chorus. Oh, there's the answer to the question. In a lot of ways, it's like how pastors sometimes write a sermon. You know, you say like, I will figure out, you know, like what could I say so that the answer to the problem I set up is the scripture text we have today, you know, that sort of thing. So sometimes you write a song like that, and sometimes you write a song just because there's like an inspiration you have. And then sometimes more lately, what we've had is we sort of get commissioned to write songs that someone, you know, a Concordia Publishing House type outfit might call us and say, we're looking for a song about whatever this topic is. And then we just sort of like put our heads together and try to come up with something that that we like, that they might like.
How does being Lutheran, being a confessing Lutheran, shape the songs that you write? How does it make it different than other music we might hear from other musicians, other Christian musicians? Michael?
Well, certainly we are working hard to be a band that proclaims the love of God, whose name is Jesus, the unmerited and everlasting, all-encompassing and boundless grace of God. And so, you know, it's just kind of, it's just because it's so natural to us to frame things in terms of law and gospel. And it's natural to us to frame things in terms of the grace of God, as opposed to the work that people must do in order to somehow earn God's favor, right? So we come at this from an understanding that all have fallen short, that we do not and cannot earn God's grace and favor, and we don't get what we deserve, but we get the grace and the love of God, right? So that's just kind of a normal way we approach things. And I think that's evidenced in our music. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do a lot is we sing about the scriptures. For instance, the Hearts on Fire song that you played. Since we are singing about the scriptures, people can understand the song in various ways. And in the same way that a pastor or a college or seminary professor could look at a text and find things in it over and over and proclaim truths from it, we hope that since we're simply using scriptures in our songs, people can do that over and over. And so it's really common for people to find things, find meaning in our songs that we did not think of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We just write a thing because we're using scriptures and kind of rhyming and thinking of ways that these stories tie together. And then people say, oh, yeah, here's something. And we say, hey, good one. Hey, good. I like that.
Right. Or someone will say, like, you know, it's as you say in the song, just like St. Augustine said. And we're like, Yeah, right.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about the music, especially what has been the most requested song. I have an idea of what it might be, but we'll find out when we talk more with Lost and Found when we come back here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
I wanna laugh like Sarah. I wanna preach like Paul. I wanna live like play my trumpet and watch the crumbling wall. And I want to be a new creation, fall from the fingers of God's right hand. Yeah, I want to be a new creation. God's gonna make me stand. Now, I want to just like...
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
After more than three decades and hundreds of millions of babies aborted, China is cutting back on its one-child policy, which includes forced abortion and sterilization. The Communist Party says it will allow all couples to have two children if they have permits. What caused this minor change? Communist officials finally realize they're in a world of hurt because they have an aging population and not enough young workers. They also have a serious gender imbalance because boys are preferred over girls. But tiny families have been forcibly ingrained so long into Chinese culture, only a fraction of qualified couples expand their families when permitted by the government. Expect forced euthanasia to rid them of the glut of old people because they don't value life.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association.
Hello, this is Reverend Stanis Stanley inviting you to Christian Friends of New Americans annual trivia and bingo fundraiser Saturday, November 14th at the Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens. Doors open 5:15 p.m., trivia and bingo 6:30 p.m., Italian supper included with ticket, free babysitting for 5 and under. Tickets available at the door or via PayPal at cfna-stl.org/trivia. Proceeds benefit youth and family ministry to refugees and immigrants.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are having a great time in studio today and giving thanks to God for the many years of Lost and Found, George Baum and Michael Bridges, serving nearly 30 years of telling stories and singing songs, writing songs to tell the good news of Jesus. Joining me in studio now, Andrew Nelson. He's Youth and Family Life Director at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church here in St. Peter's, Missouri. Andrew, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me, Andy. I appreciate it.
It is, it's kind of fun to be a part of this farewell tour for Lost and Found. And they are coming to Chapel of the Cross in St. Peter's coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah, they are playing at Chapel of the Cross 4 p.m. on Sunday, the 15th of November.
Very good. Sunday, the 15th. And we'll talk more later in the program about how to get details for the concert and that sort of thing. Andrew, when was the first time you heard Lost and Found? Do you remember?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was just thinking about it as I was sitting in here and listening. I think I was about 9 years old, and Lost and Found came to my church when my family and I, we were going to Our Savior Lutheran Church over in St. Charles, Missouri. And I remember my dad, who was the DC at the time, said, you know, we got this band coming, Lost and Found. The youth group kids love them. And so anything that the youth group kids loved, you know, as 9 years old, the high school kids loved it. I was going to love it. And I just remember thinking, what the heck am I listening to? And why can I not stop clapping and moving and smiling? And it's just been, you know, a great thing. When I hear Lost and Found, it just, you know, takes me back to, you know, just my childhood and hearing them, and just the songs are some of my favorites.
Touching the lives of 9-year-olds to 90-year-olds. How is Lost and Found intergenerational? Why is it important to be intergenerational? I think you or George, you might have mentioned earlier, one of you mentioned about being intergenerational. Michael, why is this important to you as a Christian, as a musician, and the work that you do?
Well, essentially, we feel like church is and should be an intergenerational experience, that young people benefit from being around older people, and older people benefit from being around younger people. And we have always strived to be a very inclusive band or kind of concert experience. And so, you know, it's just always been a part of the way we do things. And maybe it's because when we started out at family camp, and we played for things like LWML retreats and LLL retreats, those kinds of things. And those were intergenerational experiences. And people brought their kids and their pastor's retreats and family things. And we never wanted to kind of be the sort of band where older people would enjoy it because they'd say, oh, well, the kids like it, and I like to see the kids enjoying it. Nor do we want to be a band that would, you know, just be enjoyed by older people, and then the kids would say, well, you know, my parents like this, so I have to go. We kind of want to be that sort of Smothers Brothers-ish kind of thing where dad and teenager who might not agree on a lot of other things for a period of time in life could both agree on enjoying themselves at a Lost and Found concert and hearing a clear articulation of the love of God. And that's an intergenerational message.
And it certainly is something that the whole family can enjoy together. It is unique. Andrew, do you have a favorite Lost and Found song?
Oh, man, I was wondering if you were going to ask me that. I think, even since I was young, I think if I had to say, we were just listening to as it came on, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, but that might come up just short of Baby, mm-hmm. which has always been, I don't know if it just tugs on my heartstrings or what, but just that idea of no matter what you look like, no matter who you are, no matter if you have nobody here in the world that really looks at you and says, you are mine, you belong to me, there's that understanding that Jesus Christ, you know, looks at mm-hmm. us every day and says, you are mine, you are my child. And that song has always really kind of spoken to me and kind of encouraged me to look around and say, who is maybe needing to hear the message that Jesus Christ loves them? So,
you know, that song you talk about, Andrew, and you know, thanks for that, those comments. That really means a lot to us. It reminds me, you know, it's an illustration of how the interactive, you know, Andy mentioned the intergenerational aspect of a Lost and Found concert, but we also really work hard to have an interactive part of the concerts, you know, that the whole thing is interactive. So, for instance, when we play concerts, we keep the lights on the audience as much as we do on the band because we feel like we're all in it together. And that song, Nobody Calls Her Baby, is a really good illustration of how it happens that the band and the listeners interact. Because as a person in the band, you stand there on the stage and you see a person in the crowd. And then you go back and you're writing a song the next day or the next week, and you're writing about that person that you saw and that you chatted with a little bit from the stage, or maybe even afterwards in the fellowship hall in our case. But then what happens is when the band sings about that person that they saw, other people hear that song and they think you're singing about them. And so they say, wow. The band wrote a song. The band really understands me. They wrote a song about me. And the band is thinking, the kids really sort of inspire me. So, you know, the band, and it happens in not just Lost and Found, but it happens in a lot of different bands. You know, a group sings about the people who listen to their songs, and then the people who listen to the songs say, that band is singing about me, kind of thing. And it just develops an ongoing interactive relationship.
I can identify two songs, both Baby and Slide Girl, of people saying, yes, that song is about me. The first person in Baby, shaved head and pierced nose, had a friend who every time that song came up, they're singing about me. That song is all about me.
And the thing about, you know, Slide Girl, of course, actually is about the people in the room because, you know, that's actually the text is in front of us in a sense, right? Like the very people sitting in the room are the ones we're singing about. So in that case, it's, you know, even more, you know, explicit, you could say, right? We have a friend who teaches at a Lutheran school, and he teaches like theology stuff, and he has said that you know, Slide Girl is our most theologically meaningful song. And at some point we're like, what? You know, as you consider it, you know, it really is that it's you know, it's about the people here, and it's like the community that is formed, and you know, the church as we see it right in front of us today. And it just is very interesting that you know, many bands will sing songs about how great the band is, and that you know, Sly Girl is a song that is essentially about how great the people are, you know, and it just really, for us, that's an important part of what we do, is to, you know, essentially turn the spotlight around and show it on the people as opposed to on the band, you know.
That's very true. You know, we've always been the kind of band that wants to, we've always thought that any band given loud enough speakers, flashy enough lights, expensive enough pyrotechnic, and talented enough hired musicians can rock and cause people in the crowd to say, that was a cool band. The challenge, we think, is to play a concert in such a way that people walk away and say, we're cool people, as opposed to, that was a cool band. And we think it makes a difference. One thing I just wanted to say is that we, our newest record, it's called We Are With You, and it has a version of Slide Girl on it. But in the vinyl edition of that record, the liner notes that on the sleeve inside the vinyl are lyrics from Slide Girl from the past 10 years.
Wow. Do either of, well, first of all, I have to ask about pyrotechnics since you brought it up. Have there ever been any intentional pyrotechnics in a Lost and Found concert or unintentional?
There have been a couple of events we've played where, you know, they have pyrotechnics on the stage, which is just, you know, incidental to our being there. I mean, you know, it's very scary to us. We're not used to that. But we do have a friend in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, who... we played at his church early on the farewell tour, and he's a guy who does fireworks for a living, you know, like the big shows. And so in the balcony, he had these like confetti cannon things that he would blew streamers in them. So at the end of Slide Girl, as Michael, you know, does the big jump off the chair, this guy, you know, blasted out these, you know, confetti cannons over the people, which is just really great. But that's about it. Yeah.
It's not a concert until there's confetti, right?
That's true.
You know, we're such a kind of casual, easygoing band that we, you know, we'll just bring our instruments up there and our cases, and we never really use the green rooms that are provided and stuff like that. So at some point we were playing some larger event where I just brought my guitar case up on stage and opened it up and played the songs and then closed the guitar case and walked away. But during that show, there were all kinds of fireworks and pyrotechnics. Well, later that day, I was flying, and I was pulled out of line. I had to come back out of security from the gate, and I was surrounded by police officers and TSA and all kinds of authorities with armed guards and so forth, because they'd found explosive residue in my guitar case. And so then I had to try to explain my way out of that, and you know, fortunately they let me live. They believed me and let me fly that day. I told them they could keep my guitar in whatever town it was. I didn't need to fly with it, and then they said, "Oh no, you could take it. Never mind."
So. Well, we got to ask Andrew about his favorite song earlier. Do you guys have a favorite song, George? Do you have a favorite song from the repertoire of Lost and Found?
Yeah, there's a couple of songs I really like, but one, probably my favorite song, is one of our simplest songs. It's called You Are Here, or sometimes it's just called Here. But it's a ballad, mm-hmm. and it sets up these opposing thing. Well, not even opposing, but the idea that, like, the verses are just two word couplets, and the idea is that whatever you can think of that is, you know, when you think of the word beyond, you know, like you have a mental idea of what the word beyond means, and then God is beyond that. And then, you know, what do you mean when you say before? And then you can say, well, God is before that. And, you know, these extremes that we can think of in our minds, that God is beyond and before and above and all of that. And so, but the verses are just the two words together. So, like, you know, you can think of, like, God is beyond, beyond, and above, above, and inside, inside, and all that. And then the chorus comes around and says, you are here. You know, that God, you are all of these things, but you are also here. So God is, like, transcendent, but also intimate. You know, and this, that sort of both and kind of thing. So anyway, that's probably my favorite song. I just, it's really, it's a song that I can think about a lot, which is a great thing. Yeah.
How about you, Michael? Do you have a favorite song?
You know, every night my favorite song changes a little bit based on how it feels that night and who's in the room and listening kind of thing. So I have to say that I usually enjoy Slide Girl the most. Of course, all the pressure is on George for that.
He's like seeing me sweat. Right?
Yeah. But I like to see people's reaction to Slide Girl. You know, there are some songs I like to sing, like we have a song called Dry Bones, and it's about how the kingdom of God is a place where dry bones walk. And when I think about that, you know, what does the term dry bones mean? And what an amazing kind of metaphor or illustration dry bones would be, right? And of course, we're all familiar with the Bible story, and so we know what that means from the scriptures. But when we think about that in our own lives, we might walk into a concert one night not thinking that we're people who are in need of, you know, newness and revitalization and resurrection. And yet, as Lutherans, we know that that's a daily process, right? God makes the dry bones walk, and it just it calls back for me the promises of baptism and the possibility of a new start and a revitalization sort of thing. But then, as we sing the songs, I like to sing verses like where we say, you know, God's going to write His new law in the flesh of our heart. And think about how what that means, you know, in terms of the work of God in Christ. And so there are just all kinds of lines in that song that I love to sing and watch people think about them and how they apply to them on that day. We say, you know, God will be the way when the world is lost and calm the waves when the world is tossed. And so it allows people to think of those very specific scriptural references and stories about revealing God's work, but it also makes them think, oh, that's like me today, or that's like I may be tomorrow, or I was last week. And then they hear the good news. God shows the way. God calms the waves. And God makes dry bones walk, you know.
Mm-hmm. What has been the all-time most requested lost and found song? Michael?
I guess it'd probably have to be Oh Them Lions.
That would be maybe, my guess, yeah.
Maybe it's Slide Girl, but it's probably Lions.
I was going to guess Lions.
I was too.
Certainly those three are the ones, Lions, Baby, and Slide Girl. Like, we know that we can't get out of the room without playing.
Yeah. Here's a question.
And, you know, part of what we do, we always take requests when we play concerts, and so those three, you can be, you know, rest assured someone will ask for those three, right?
Yeah, so I don't want to be a total spoiler alert, but, you know, in this whole, the Lions song, there's an obvious Slinky reference to that. I guess a question, has it been harder and harder to find a good metal Slinky to keep playing as the years have gone by?
Well, the one I have now, I've probably had for about 5 years, maybe more. They are harder to find because, like, people settle for the plastic ones, which makes the plastic ones easier to find. This one that I have, I got it, I think, Restoration Hardware, somewhere like obscure like that. And it's made better, and it's funny. It's like it's like getting a high-quality instrument, but it's a Slinky, you know, it's just funny. But they are harder to find. Usually you can get them at Toys R Us.
Okay. George mentioned an interesting thing, is that every night we take requests during the concerts, and this is our farewell tour. We have the show in St. Peter's, and we hope everybody, you know, in the listening area will come over there on Sunday to that concert. Our final show, our final live show, is December 13th, and it will be at Long Island Lutheran High School on Sunday, December 13th. That's on Long Island. Not everybody can travel to New York, we know, though we hope everybody does. But if they don't, we have these two online shows on December 29th. And people can find out information at our website about them. But they're all request shows. So what happens is the technology allows us to have 500 people listening to the show online. It won't be archived or saved or anything like that. It's just a live show. And when people sign on to get their ticket to log in, they can register their song request. And then whichever songs are the top, I think we'll have time for probably 12 or so songs. Whichever 12 songs have the most requests among the people who bought a ticket for the online show, those are the songs we'll play. And they could be really far out, or they could be Baby Lions and Slide Girl. But we hope that throughout the country, we'll be able to have 500 people listening either on their phones or their iPads or their computers for that very last show on December 29th.
So the website where we can find information on the upcoming concerts, including the online concerts, speedwood.com, right?
Speedwood. It's like speed metal, but no metal, just wood.
We don't have any metal instruments, right?
Exactly.
Quick question. Andrew's going to share some details about the concert here in St. Peter's, but before we go to that, most unusual place you've ever given a concert? George?
I think it's going to be a ranch in Montana.
A ranch in Montana?
Yeah, it was a wedding. It was a wedding on a ranch in Montana on the bike trip. Yeah. That's a very specific place. Right?
Michael, do you agree, or was there something more unique than that?
That was pretty unique. I mean, it seems unique to me because, you know, I've lived my whole life in the United States. It always seems unique to me when we sing in places like India or something like that. That seems unusual to me. We really enjoyed a few weeks ago. We sang a concert in Wittenberg, Germany, for the opening of the LCMS Welcome Center, the old Latin school renovation, and we played a concert in Wittenberg. And even though we're on our farewell tour now, we'll always be playing in Germany, and people can find out information about that on our website as well.
Very good, speedwood.com. Andrew, tell us again about the concert this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, Chapel of the Cross is hosting it, and thank you, George and Michael, for adding us to your tour stop. I know it means a lot to some of our planning committee and things like that, who, again, through the years have had across the generations experiences with Lost and Found. But yeah, the concert's going to start at 4 p.m. at Chapel of the Cross in our sanctuary over in St. Peter's. All tickets are general admission, and we'll open the doors at 3 p.m. for general admission seating. It is a ticketed event, $5 per person, $10 for a family unit. So whether you're coming as a couple kids, extended family, you can purchase a $10 ticket. And we are selling tickets online through our church website at www.chapeloftheCrossLutheran.org. There's a link with the Lost and Found We Are With You fist on the left-hand side, which will take you directly to that. Speedwood.com also has information that'll take you to my personal number where I can answer any questions you have about that. Or if you're local in St. Charles County or up for a drive, we will sell them this week in person in our church office at the corner of Youngerman and Willett Road over in St. Peter's.
Thank you, Andrew Nelson, Youth and Family Life Director, Chapel of the Cross, St. Peter's, Missouri. Thanks for being our guest today, Andrew.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
George Baum, Lost and Found, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you so much. It's been great to have this time. It's a nice, slow pace to chat, which is really great.
What a great pleasure.
Thank you, Michael Bridges. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Take care. God's blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thy Strong Word up next on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.